Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I have to tell you, I have something special in store for you today. We have a special guest in our studio right here in Ormond Beach, and I'm excited to have Mr. Dennis Miller. He is an author, a speaker, a consultant. He's been on our program before, and we did it over the phone, and he was going to be visiting my area, and I said, we have to get together, Dennis, so he agreed to be with me. He's written the book, which from a very unique perspective, the book is Retirement Reboot, and he wrote it as a retiree rebooting his retirement. And so it's a really interesting book, and the website is millersmoney.com. Millersmoney.com, and he has a free weekly newsletter, Miller's Money Weekly, and I'm super excited. You can hear it in my voice to have Dennis in the studio with me. Welcome, Dennis. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, and beautiful place. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. We're glad to have you with us because it's a neat opportunity for me and, of course, for my listeners to have somebody who is living it, living retirement, to actually be able to weigh in on the subjects that affect retirees. And of course, your experience was like a lot of people. How you chose to deal with it may be different, but you experienced the 2008 major pullback for the market. You experienced a lot of the things that other people that are retired experienced, healthcare, other issues that affect you. And so I love your perspective. I love that you've done this work to write your book. And the book, they can get on your website as well?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. So the book's available on millersmoney.com as well as the newsletter. And so, Dennis, let me give a little bit of background for you and for my listeners. First, I want to say thank you to you for your service to our country as a U.S. Marine. Thank you, sir.
Long time ago.
Long time ago, but it still counts. Thank you for that. And so Dennis has done a lot of things. He contributes to a lot of different organizations for his writing and has done a lot of things. Notably, active international lecturer for over 40 years, of course, written several books. He's consulted for many of the Fortune 500 companies, training executives how to effectively communicate, and has his clients has included GE, Mobil, Shell, HP, IBM, Corning Glass, Eastman Kodak, a whole long list of companies that benefited from Dennis's expertise. And so we get to have him here in our studio in little old Ormond Beach and our program. So let's dive in. Dennis writes his newsletters, and of course you can get that over at millersmoney.com. And several have caught my attention. I, of course, pay attention to what Dennis is writing, and it prompted us to have some different subjects that we could talk about. And the one that I really found fascinating, Dennis, that really struck a nerve, and I imagine it is for a lot of our listeners, is the one you wrote about, and the title is, In a World Where 26 Equals 18, Make Home. So talk to me about what's going on here in this, where you say 26 equals 18. We're talking about kids coming back home, kids joining their parents?
Yeah, it seems like there's been a major change in society that, you know, it used to be you were a teenager, and then you transitioned into adulthood. And what I'm discovering now is that some of these people who are experts on it, actually one of them wrote a book called The Changing Concept of Adulthood, and they noticed a tremendous change in society. And at the risk of reading it, I'd like to just read one sentence that drives it home. The supportive environment of a middle-class professional family makes movement towards independent adulthood relatively less attractive than maintenance of the extended adolescent status. Now, David, having raised many children, we all have our teenage years, and basically say to the teenagers, you know, you want all the privileges of adulthood with all the responsibility of a child. Well, in many cases now, that's extending on into the mid to late 20s, which is having a tremendous impact on retirees trying to plan for their retirement.
Well, I love, you said something before we started the program, and I want you to share it with our listeners, Dennis, because I think it's really interesting perspective. You shared about back in the day and when you were 18 and what the expectations were and how things have changed for the next generation, perhaps my generation, and then for the ones now that are coming back to home. You've got three very distinct or different views on what the expectations are. So if you review that, because I think that'll help set the stage for some of what we want to talk about in this segment.
Sure. Well, understand that my generation, I was a child of a World War II father. So when you turned 18, when I turned 18, you either went to college or you went into service because you're going to get drafted anyway. A lot of people went into service and then went to college on the GI Bill. But one way or the other, if you were particularly a male, an 18-year-old male, and you were living at home at 19 or 20, people made fun of you. There's something wrong with you. You were supposed to be independent. Now, having children in their 50s, I noticed a change with my children in the fact that it was then when they got out of college, they were expected to go out on their own. You know, my youngest son got a master's degree at Florida Southern, and he spent the better part of a year looking for a job, but he found an apartment, he got a job, and he just totally expected to be out on his own. Well, now that extended adolescence is going into the late 20s, and, you know, I don't understand all of it because you're going to be scared when you go out on your own, whether you're 22 or 28. You might as well get it done at 22 because you're giving up such a tremendous period of time for these young adults to truly be entrepreneurs and get a head start on their careers.
Well, isn't this a period, you know, the 20 to 30 year time period ages, Dennis, for people? This isn't a time of risk-taking. It's a time of high energy. It's a time to become an entrepreneur if you're going to become one. It's time to make mistakes, and it's time to get out there and, you know, experience the world out from underneath the apron of the parents. And if they come back home and they are able to just extend that adolescence, there's not a real motivation there, right?
Well, you're running into it from two factors. But yes, in effect, that's one of the things parents have to ask themselves. And that is, by me continuing to support my children, am I really helping them? Because, David, I look at it kind of old-fashioned. I have always believed the goal of the family elders, whether it's parents or grandparents, are to raise your children to the point that they can survive emotionally and financially on their own on this earth, in that we're going to be gone someday, and they have to be able to learn to survive on their own. That's our job. And that sometimes I think by continuing to help them, particularly financially, are we really moving towards that goal, or are we moving away from that goal? Are we really helping them? In a lot of cases, I don't think they are.
Well, I can definitely understand and agree with that, Dennis. And I tell you what, I remember very distinctly, you know, you talk about the expectations. I remember as soon as I finished college, as soon as I completed, I took the CPA exam, thankful to pass the first time, by the way. I didn't want to have to do that again. And the expectation was clear. I went to work. I didn't get another summer off. I went to work as soon as I finished, took the CPA exam, finished my college, and I remember distinctly, and I wanted to let my parents know how I felt about their continued support because they helped me with college, and that was a wonderful thing, and I'm certainly going to try to do the same for my kids, and will do the same. But I remember, you know, I changed majors during college, and I felt guilty. I knew I needed a change. I started out pre-med. I ran into a zoology class and said, this is not for me. And I said, I've always had this a business part of me. So anyway, I made that change and I felt guilty about it. And so I talked to my parents about it and they understood, and I got their permission to go longer. And I'll always remember that when I got my first paycheck, I took them out to dinner and said, you know, thank you. You worked with me on this and you made it possible. But there was no expectation of or even a thought that I would be able to come back home.
Yeah, and I think that, David, that starts a lot earlier than when you're getting out of college. I think that's one of the things that I feel very strongly about from parents and grandparenting both, is you set those expectations early. And you have to make independence something that is such a desire for them, mm-hmm. that they are willing to take those risks and that they're willing to do that. And I think part of the problem is today, I read an article recently that said 48% of the college graduates are now being hired into professions that don't require a college degree. And, you know, a lot of the excuse is, well, they're moving back home because they can't get a good job. I'm suggesting that, you know, it's not like when you went to school and my children went to school, you could get a degree in anything and you would come out and find a good job. It's not that way anymore. So it's the job of the parents and the grandparents to mentor those children. If you're going to spend a couple of $100,000 for a college education, we need to make sure that we're helping these young people to get an education into a career that they're going to be able to be independent and support a family. That's our job as parents and grandparents. And we can't just abdicate that to the university system.
Amen to that. Dennis Miller, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, author, speaker, consultant, passionate gentleman on the subject. The book is Retirement Reboot. The website, millersmoney.com, and the free weekly newsletter, Miller's Money Weekly. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his clients' shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dennis Miller with me, the author of Retirement Reboot. Walk to walk, talk to talk. That's what Dennis did in writing this book and his own personal experience and the things he went through to reboot his retirement. And millersmoney.com, that's the website. Now, Dennis told me on the break he had a special treat for our listeners. There's a free book offer, millersmoney.com/free book. Go there and you can get a free download. Very generous, Dennis. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Glad to help.
Well, let me ask you to do this. Sum it up for me with the what you're really driving at here, because I think I like sometimes to start with the end of the story and then work our way backwards. What are you really saying to the parents out there and grandparents, the folks that are helping to mold and shape the next generation, the kids, the young adults getting out of high school and going into college or finishing college and coming back? What are you really trying to hit on? What's the real essence of what we're trying to say here?
Well, I think we have to start with a goal that we talked about earlier, and that is we have to make sure that financial and emotional independence and functioning as adults is the goal. And husband and wife and grandparents all have to be on that, because, you know, if one of them sneaking money on the outside the back, all you're doing the back door, you're creating a dependent child rather than an independent child. And you have to be honest with yourself. You know, am I helping them or am I hurting them? You can't just be there to pick them up every time they stumble. They have to learn how to deal with it themselves. I think the second point is to set your expectations early. You know, David, as I said earlier, you knew that after you got out of college, you were on your own. But you probably knew that when you were in fifth grade.
Yeah. There was never really much of a doubt there.
Yeah. And I think there's another aspect to it, and this is one that I'm seeing that I think that people need to be reminded of. And this isn't as much your parents as now the generation today. And that is, I read an article recently where the young people today are actually looking to help from their grandparents. They want the mentoring. They want the coaching. They want the adults looking and helping them. They're listening a lot more than we may think they are. And particularly when it comes to college, you know, one of my biggest problems is when these kids get out, you know, they come out of college, only 39% of the incoming freshmen graduate in 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and that the standard norm now is 6 years. Now, I ran some numbers recently for an article I wrote, and, you know, you take a four-year degree to a six-year degree at a school like Northwestern in Chicago, you've probably added another $100,000, $150,000 to the cost of that degree.
Wow.
Now, the point being that I think this is where you have to sit down and you have to be on top of it as parents and grandparents, because the colleges and universities are not our friend. And I'm talking about the guidance counselor. I think too many of them are these enablers, you know, and I'll give you a real world example. When my youngest daughter started, she sat down with her guidance counselor freshman year, and first thing the guidance counselor told her was, only take 12 hours. That's the minimum number of hours that's required for you to be a full-time student. A lot less stress. Well, bingo, right off the start, now we got a six-year degree.
I'd like to have had a 12 semester hour period. I don't remember any of those.
No, but the fact is you want to change. No, I'll give you another one. You're struggling in that class, drop the class so it doesn't screw up your grade point average, then take it again later. Ka-ching. I mean, they're doing all of these things, and that it is now the norm to come out of college in 6 years. Well, I think the parents have got to be saying, no, if you're struggling with that class, quit screwing around and study like we taught you. You should, you know, get with the program. They need that kind of mentoring, because nowadays college is not just a rite of social passage. You are investing many times, well over $100,000 to $200,000 in the career of, you know, your next generation. And it's got to give them that financial and emotional independence. We've got to see to it that money is well spent.
Amen to that, Dennis. Well, you know, as you were describing that, the 6 year now becomes the norm. I remember when I was in college that anybody that took a little longer, again, we kind of made fun of. We teased them. We're like, you're on a 5 year plan. What, you know, what's wrong with you? I mean, it's really interesting how the dynamics are changing. Now, that brings me to a whole nother point, because you're talking about these costs being so significant. They're huge numbers. And, you know, and there's lots of different ways for families to pay for college. And I wrote about it recently in my column. You know, a lot of different things you can do. But a bigger and bigger part of this is student loans. So how do you reconcile with this 39% statistic you cited, getting it done in 4 years? How do you reconcile student loans into the equation?
Well, I think the first thing is avoid them at all costs. And I want to caution your listeners out there who may be parents and grandparents. Under no circumstances do you ever sign or co-sign for a student loan for your offspring. Just plain don't do it. You've seen the horror stories, David, where it has screwed up people's retirement. I've also believed that this, again, goes back, though, to setting the expectations early. Because, David, I'm a believer that when the student feels like they're spending their own money, they make the dean's list.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm doing this now with grandchildren. You know, we have the 529 plan and all these ways to save money for college. Well, you know, when they get money as Christmas gifts or birthday gifts, you start by having them take a certain amount of money, and that goes into your college saving. They prepare the deposit slip. Mm. Okay, then they move on and they get a job, and they're putting that money in there so that when they get to college, they're looking at it as they're spending their money. And it is amazing, you know, they've got
skin in the game.
Yeah, they've got skin in the game. And as a result of that, you know, I mean, we've all heard stories about kids blowing scholarships and they lose the scholarship money, and all of a sudden mom and dad have said enough already.
Yeah.
And then they start paying for themselves and they make the dean's list every time.
I have to share another anecdote, and I, you know, this is nothing to be bragging about, but I do remember very distinctly the first 2 years. It was almost like still kind of extended high school a little bit for me, just getting into the college routine and getting really serious about it. And I started out with that being pre-med, and I ended up shifting over to business, obviously, degree. And when I made that shift, I remember, you know, very distinctly, because I knew I needed to catch up on some curriculum and coursework. And I also saw that it was going to cost more, and it motivated me a little bit. I actually became an accounting tutor for University of North Florida and ended up tutoring classes I was taking and classes I hadn't even taken yet, because I wanted to help pay the bill, because it was expensive. Back then it was expensive, and I know it's even more now.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's the area of responsibility. And that starts, though, and those expectations were set probably when you were in grade school, when you got to the point where you were thinking logically. And that is part of the raising of the child to be independent and be responsible. And that's the job of the family elders.
Excellent. Dennis Miller, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, consultant, smart guy, wrote the book, Retirement Reboot, and the website, millersmoney.com/free book. You want to take advantage of that for our listeners. Very generous of Dennis to make that available. Quick break. We'll be right back.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your portfolio prepared for such a correction? How about inflation? What's your plan for when a gallon of gas or gallon of milk costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has answers to questions just like these and practical steps you can take to help mitigate these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Millersmoney.com/free book. Take advantage of that offer from Mr. Dennis Miller, who's in the studio with me today. And Retirement Reboot is the book that Dennis wrote, firsthand experience with the 2008 meltdown and what he did to turn his retirement around. And I wanted to pick back up right before where we were right before the break, Dennis, and that is, how can families, you know, if they want to help the kids stay on track and obviously help to mitigate or minimize the cost of overall college, how do you get them in that 39% that actually graduate in 4 years and then get a job?
Well, I think that that's, again, one of the things that I recommend is that you actually have a family meeting. And I'm talking about if grandparents have money in the game, grandparents are part of that family meeting. And it is a business discussion. You know, college is not just a rite of passage anymore like it might have been for mom and dad in their generation. And you sit down and say, okay, we're having this amount of money, and we're going to invest it in your education. Grandma and grandpa have been kicking in for the last 18 to 20 years, and we expect that now it's your turn to be responsible about that. And, you know, it's amazing because the children respond to that. You're talking to them and you're treating them like adults, which is as it should be. And then I think there's one other aspect of it, and I've had some really interesting discussions in our firm. You know, I'm working with a lot of these top financial analysts in the country, you know, certified financial analysts, and they've got all these levels of tests. And they have a saying that there's a lot of people that come into college and they're going to be certified financial analysts. And then they get into some of the advanced statistics courses and they're really hard. Well, maybe I'll change my major. Well, somewhere at that point, I think mom and dad or grandma and grandpa should be sitting down and saying, maybe that's why the certified financial analyst pays such good money. It's hard.
Yeah.
And if you want to earn good money and if you want to be successful, you know, it's going to be hard because not as many people can do it. And therefore, knuckle down and get with it. And it's not meant to be mean, because I can tell you this as a grandparent. One of the neatest experiences I had was with my young son, and we were going out for dinner, and historically grandpa always picked up the check, and he grabbed me by the wrist and said, Dad, I'm paying for it. And I looked at him and he said, why? He said, don't you realize, Dad, how important it is for me to be able to show my dad I can buy his dinner?
Amen to that.
And the fact is, you know, he's right. I was insensitive to that. That was important to him. And once they are to that point that they're independent, as a grandparent, I think it's fun to watch your children as independent adults and how they're raising their children, and they're passing those same values down to the next generation. And as a grandparent, I can tell you, Dave, that's pretty cool.
That is very cool. Well, see, you hear that, Dad? You can't argue with me over the bill anymore. We have that. I usually grab it before he sees it come to the table. Okay, so let's wrap it up for me, Dennis. Let's come back to the essence. And again, I love what you're doing here with this work and the writing and the perspective you're giving our listeners. Let's hit these 4 points again. I'd love to hear them again because I think we can't hear them too much. You know, I know that number one on your list is to be honest with yourself about really, is your financial help, is it really helping or is it maybe hurting the child?
Yeah, and exactly. And I think there's another side of the coin, too, that we've learned, and there's been a lot of research done on this, and that is the children also understand if mom and dad or grandma and grandpa are doing the best they can, and maybe they can't afford to send them to Harvard or Yale because they just don't have the means, they love you just as much, and they appreciate the effort. So, you know, the honesty goes all the way around the circle. And I think the goal is to set realistic expectations. If you don't have the money, there's nothing wrong with getting 2 years at the local junior college and then 2 years from the four-year school. There's nothing on that degree from the four-year school that says, oh, by the way, you got the first 2 years at the junior college. Just make sure you pick the right one where the credits transfer. And that it's all part, in my opinion, of parenting and grandparenting. And then you have to coach them along the way. And the children really have come to respect that, in my opinion. And the one thing that I really want to say to the seniors out there, if I were to pick one thing that I have seen hurt people in retirement, it's they feel this compulsion that every time their children or grandchildren are hurting financially or they have a problem, that they have to jump in and help. And there was a major event in my life where I was sitting down with my daughter and she was going and talking about something and I felt this Mr. Fix-It. I had to jump in.
Yeah.
And I took a deep breath and I said, wow, what are you going to do? And my daughter said, Dad, we got a whole plan. I've sat down with my husband. We've got it all figured out. It's going to take us 3 to 4 years, but we're going to get it done. And they did. And David, I realized later, if I had jumped in and been Mr. Fix-It, I would have been doing their marriage a disservice.
Outstanding, Dennis. Well, and you know, it's a great story, and it really hits the point hard. And you know, the other thing, I just to kind of put a big bow on this, you know, we've hit this from the angle of really trying to prepare, as you said earlier, that child for being emotionally and financially independent. But the flip side of this is, in so doing, you are also, as the retiree or the person planning to be a retiree and planning your own retirement, you're really helping to insulate your own financial assets from stepping back in. You gave a statistic in your newsletter that I found really compelling, that some 85% of parents provide some sort of post-graduation financial assistance. That's coming out of retirement money no matter what way you slice it.
Yeah, exactly. And part of the problem I see with this, David, with that same audience is, okay, so your child comes back home, you're helping them out financially. Well, you're making their car payment or whatever. The longer the period of time goes on, the harder it is to stop. Where do you draw the line? Where do you say enough already? And, you know, I'm a strong believer that you never learn how to manage money until you don't have any. And the quicker those kids get there and they start learning the difference between needs and wants, the quicker they get started on being financially independent themselves.
Amen. Amen. Dennis Miller, ladies and gentlemen, in our studio, author, speaker, consultant. The book is Retirement Reboot, and the website, millersmoney.com. And again, if you go /free book, Dennis has made available for our listeners that they can get a free copy. And the newsletter, which is, we've been talking about just one of Dennis's newsletters. There's a free weekly newsletter you can sign up for as well, millersmoney.com. Dennis, I applaud what you're doing. I'm going to ask you to come back and we'll talk about another subject and take advantage of your expertise and what you're doing in this area. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
All right.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.